Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine and the publisher at inspiredlivingpublishing.com. All of my brands, including this show, are dedicated to inspiring women to live deeper, more inspired, and authentic lives. So welcome. No matter how much parents love their children, parenting is hard. I've raised children. I now have grandchildren. And while people have raised kids forever, come on, modern life presents fresh challenges. And today's guest, Erin Leber, author of Joy Fixes for Weary Parents, shares that if you keep habits of joy at the forefront, then many challenges that parents face, like weariness, tend to resolve themselves. And when I read that, I was like, oh, yes. You know, sometimes it's so hard to stay focused on joy when we're kind of overwhelmed in the parenting field. So Erin is an individual and marriage counselor specializing in helping parents of young children. She's the author of Joy Fixes for Weary Parents, 101 Quick Research-Based Ideas for Overcoming Stress and Building a Life You Love. In addition to writing a popular blog, she speaks often to parenting and child care groups. She writes regularly about parenting and partnering with presence and joy. Her articles have been featured just about everywhere: Psychology Today, Your Tango, Working Mother, Blog Her, and many others. Welcome, Erin.
Thank you.
I am excited to have you here because I think so many parents, and you know, my children are all grown now, but I have grandchildren and I have a large extended family. I'll tell you, we can get overwhelmed. And when I read the title of your book, two things stood out to me. One, I love anything to do with joy, of course. So I saw Joy Fixes and I said, okay, I got to learn more about this. But I also love that it said research-based ideas. So let's dive in. What led you to write this book?
I had worked with kids for about 20 years as a social worker with kids and parents, and I had taught child development as a professor, and then I had three kids of my own in 3 years. And so I just realized that although I had learned a lot about, you know, parenting theories and different child development theories, there was a lot that was kind of missing for me about just how to stay really joyful, calm, and balanced and centered in everyday life, and kind of how to find those moments of joy and just really, and you know, enjoy the time with your kids amidst all the busyness of modern day life.
And so as you, what made you go tap into the joy energy? Because to me, that is what it's all about. When we can shift our energy, we show up in a much more present way with any relationship in our life, especially our children.
Yeah, I think just realizing for myself that though when I was able to kind of stay in tune with the bright spots in my day, the moments of connection with my kids where we were, you know, being playful together or laughing and goofing off together, or, you know, sharing a more tender moment, I was listening to them and they're, you know, if they were sad about something, or even just like being outside with them at the park and noticing the way they noticed a butterfly. And if I could kind of stay in tune with those sort of bright moments, then it helped me stay more centered for all the harder stuff, you know, more of the crying or the feeling overwhelmed or beating back gobs of erupting laundry or things like that. That it really, noticing the joy in my days really made me, you know, deal with all the other hard stuff better.
Well, that is, I've got to say, that was one of a really important message that I found woven throughout your book was your belief that the importance of making joy a priority in your own life as a mom has a huge payoff for your children and loved ones too, because we've all heard the saying, when mom is happy, everyone's happy. And is that what you found in your research too? When moms started taking care of themselves emotionally, spiritually, and physically, it rippled out?
Yeah, I think it ripples out. I really think that parents drive the mood train for their families, that if they are really happy, then their kids pick up on that. That emotional contagion research shows that, you know, we pick up on other people's moods all the time within a matter of milliseconds, just from their tone of voice, their facial expressions, how they react to a rainy day or a burnt pancake, that we are always noticing those things. So I think there is something else too, that if parents are in a good place, if they're feeling more joyful, then they can do every other parenting skill way better. They can have a sense of humor about things. They have more of a sense of calm in any kind of, you know, strategy they're using, and they connect way better with their kids. They have that emotional energy to kind of take those extra few minutes to laugh with a kid, like playing toy, coffee shop in the bathtub, or making mud pies outside. They're not in a hurry. They're not feeling impatient or frustrated with the little things, but they're kind of letting themselves more indulge in those connections.
It's so important to be in present with your child too. And a friend of mine who happens to be a client shared with me about a month ago that she has four young children, and she, you know, is a type A, has her own business, has a big holistic center. And she said, you know, Lynn, it's so hard to be present sometimes. And she said, and my daughter came up to me and said, you know, hey, mom, can you look at this? And she was really excited about something she created. And the mom was multitasking. And of course she looked at it, but she really didn't look at it. You know what I mean, Erin? Like, it wasn't like she was there and present. And her daughter, who is so insightful, I think she's about 8, said, I'll come back later, mom, when you can really look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Children know when you are not present for them. They know.
Yeah, they really do. They're very intuitive.
And she said, and she's a very open parent and raises her children that way. She said, I got up immediately and said, thank you for letting me know that I was not paying attention, that I was still looking at my phone. And she said in that instant, she was able to shift the energy, show up fully, and the rest of the day unfolded magically. But I think so many of us, and I can speak, when I was raising my daughter, there were times I was not present. I was there, but I wasn't there. Is that something you find a lot of parents struggle with also, especially now in the digital age?
Yeah, I think it's really hard. I think, you know, people get very addicted to their phones, and it's just hard in general. I think there's so much on parents' minds, whether it's working or paying bills or shopping or cleaning the kitchen. You know, they're so busy, and it's hard to take those little moments to really, you know, connect and be present.
So since writing the book and since really diving into the research that you did for writing this book, were there any findings that surprised you when you were doing your research?
Yeah, there definitely were. I mean, the findings about gratitude really, they're so powerful that even taking a time to reflect on the positive moments of your life can affect you for months to follow. Like, or just, you know, saying thank you in a relationship even once a day can make your marriage a lot stronger. So those kind of findings, just the power behind saying thank you and also feeling thankful for different things, was pretty astounding. And then also, just how you can train your mind to sort of focus on the positives in your day with your mindset and the way you set out and your attitude towards the day. If you set up yourself to say, what am I going to savor today? What am I really going to enjoy and appreciate? Or how am I going to fill my cup today? How am I going to take care of myself today? And really thinking through those things ahead of time, or even with your kids, like picturing a great bedtime routine before you have the bedtime routine. So kind of orienting yourself toward the positives even before you step into something, that can just change the entire dynamic and also help you stay, you know, calm in challenging situations with toddler. So that was one thing, definitely gratitude. That stood out.
Well, even if you're not a parent, I mean, gratitude is such a powerful energy to tap into. It's actually how I changed my life 25 years ago, and it's something I now, as I said, have grandchildren, one's 5 and one's 17, and it's been like little rituals I've taught them, like the morning ritual. Do you share some of the rituals, I know your children are younger, with your children and start teaching them some of the things that you've learned?
Yeah, I think I try to, even before, say we go to the pool in the summer or the park, I'll say, like, you know, what are we looking forward to doing there? You know, and what do you think your favorite part's going to be today? And just kind of setting the stage for positivity in whatever it is we're going to do, even if it's something like cleaning the playroom, you know, like how we'll feel at the end of it or what kind of fun music we'll play or things like that. I think it is something we pass down is those little mindset tricks that we can use. I think another thing is just taking time at the end of the night to kind of go through the positive aspects of the day with our kid and what we notice, kind of catching them being good. Not necessarily like praising, but just saying like, I saw you today. Like I saw you jumping off the diving board for the first time, you know, and I really loved watching you play soccer today. Or, you know, I love that you shared your new marker set with your little brother. Or just kind of taking that time to note the positives, but also to really listen to our child and how they saw the day as well. I think a lot of times, you know, we're so reactive, we have to be to negative behavior during the day or things that, you know, push the boundaries, and we end up correcting a lot during the day. So it's important to kind of look for those things during the day and kind of keep, but also to take that time, like you said, a ritual at the end of the night to note the positive.
Yeah, and one of the rituals, as you were speaking, my daughter does with my 5.5-year-old granddaughter. She started this when I think probably 2 years old, a little over, when she could really, you know, form sentences and thoughts. She started snuggling in bed, and then she said, "So, what's the most favorite part of your day today?" And she hears it from McKenna's point of view, right? And then as she got older, she then added, on some days, not all, but that question is every single night. And then the other question sometimes is, "So, what did you learn today?" And sometimes she'll say, "I'll learn not to put bubble gum in my hair," or something like that, right? But
right.
You hearing it from them, sometimes if she knows McKenna had a tough day in some way, she'll say, "Was there something that you wish you could have changed today?" And she says, "Yes, I wish I didn't take a temper tantrum in Kohl's," right? But see, she's helping her frame her day, right? Well, now do you know what's so funny? She comes over for a sleepover, and she'll say to us at the end of the day when we're about to tuck her in, she goes, "So, Amma, Papa, what was the best part of your day?" Our heart melts because it's a ritual being created that helps her look for the positive in the day and not just focus on the negative. Acknowledge it, see what you would change. That's one gift my daughter's given McKenna that I'm like, wow, this is going to be a lifetime gift.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so powerful because as you shared with what you do with your children, it's empowering them for the future. And I want to dive in even deeper into some of the insights that you share in your book when we come back from our break. And I'll be back in a moment with Erin Labor of erinlabor.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul, every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations, and with me today is Erin Labo, the author of Joy Fixes for Weary Parents. So, Erin, one of the things that I know I did and sometimes will still do as a grandma is the shoulds. Oh, I should do this when the children or grandchildren. I should do this. And I'm like, you know what? That weighs me down. It used to weigh me down a lot, less now that I'm aware of it when I say it. Why is it important for parents to release the shoulds?
Yeah, I think you know, modern parenting, people can get really weighed down by all the stuff that they're supposed to be doing with their kids, or maybe they see on social media or Facebook that other people are doing, like going to baseball games or fancy museums or, you know, things like that, and they feel like they should be doing the same. And there's a lot of pressure to join extracurriculars or sports, and then parents end up regretting it or resenting it sometimes because they feel like their schedule's very rushed or they're not really doing the things they want to be doing or even the things they want to be doing with their kids. They're just kind of living in reactive mode to, like, going to different birthday parties or, you know, dragging their kids to different sporting events, and they're really not enjoying their lives and those connections with their kids. So I think it's just important to sometimes take that step back and look at, you know, your life, your routine, your weekend, and look at what, if there's anything, you know, you can cut out of it, if anything is energy sapping or kind of draining, and then to make sure that you fit in your priorities and what are your highest priorities. And maybe that's, you know, a family dinner or a bike ride on Sunday afternoon, or maybe it's, you know, seeing your own friends and making time to see them, you know, once a month or once a week, or just having a little bit more downtime and slow time with your kids. I mean, one mom told me she went to the zoo and she had all these plans to, you know, see the all these different animals and exhibits in the zoo, and they ended up just going to see the lions and the tigers, and that's all they made it. And she just enjoyed that time. She kind of let go of all her expectations of what she was going to do that day and then just enjoyed that time with her kids. And they just sat there and, you know, for almost an hour watching the lions and tigers there.
Yeah, but they, at least they were fully present in the moment, not going, oh my God, we must and we should do this. It was like just they were being and not just doing and getting pulled along their day. They were consciously in their day.
Right.
Now, you also write about the importance of honoring feelings like sadness, anger, or fear. And, you know, sometimes it's tough feelings that we have to honor in honoring our children. How do you, what are the ways you recommend that people honor their, those tough feelings?
Busy, and they're always caretaking, and it's hard to kind of find some time to honor the more difficult feelings of grief or loss, or, you know, feeling sad or angry about different things or a fear that they might have. So I think one of the biggest ways parents can honor their feelings is by giving them a little bit of time to themselves to go for a long walk, to kind of write in a journal, and just surrender to the page and just kind of see what comes out on the page, that those feelings that might be just below the surface where they're not able to kind of access those in everyday life because they're always doing the next thing or serving the next meal. But really by stepping back and taking that time to notice what's going on with them. Another way I think they can do that is by checking in with their body to say, you know, what part of my body needs attention right now and what kind of feelings might be showing up in my body, whether it's a tightness, you know, in my stomach or, you know, a lump in my throat or kind of a heaviness on my shoulders, and really getting curious about those feelings. I think it's almost important for parents to schedule a little bit of time for themselves to kind of to process feelings, whether it's with a counselor or talking to a friend or just taking that time to themselves, because they just don't get a lot of time for that.
So true. And one of the other things you talk about is making time for your partner. Like, you have a weekly date night, right? And I so believe in that. In fact, when McKenna was young, I always said, listen, we're gonna take her. Doesn't matter if you guys choose to stay home and watch, you know, TV and have a pizza or go out. It just matters that you have that time together. Is that something that you found is so important? Because you become parents, and then I feel we can forget the relationship, right? I know that happened to me 30 years ago. Is that why you recommend it?
Yeah, and that's so nice that you take your granddaughter to
every week since 5.5 years. I think we've missed 3 weeks, and then we have her overnight every month. Yeah. So to me, I know it's important because I didn't have that when my daughter, who's now 33, was young, and I think it's even more important now when parents have so much coming at them. That, you know, I want that basis for the family. So have you found that it's important for yourself and your partner, and you find the difference in your own energy?
Yeah, I really do. Absolutely. We go on a weekly date night, and it makes a huge difference. I think it's a time, you know, to kind of communicate about things at a much deeper level and just get a little perspective to be able to talk about, you know, what's going well, what we're struggling with, you know, what we want to change, or just celebrate some of the successes and take that time together to feel thankful for family. But also it's a time to kind of de-stress and take a load off and just, like, you know, be in that time with just the two of us and just be able to, you know, flirt or get back some of the more lighthearted parts of the relationship. I think parenting can get really serious at times. You know, it's just very serious about reading books and doing bedtime and getting through baths and things like that. That date nights kind of give that opportunity to kind of, you know, step back and be playful. And
it's
then
so
you can
true.
Bring that energy back to your family.
Yeah, because, you know, think of it, especially as you shared earlier, you had 3 children in 3 years. So you went from this core relationship to suddenly 3 little beings being in it. And, you know, like all of us with families, it's so tough to go, okay, I don't want to be the parent today. I want to be the woman, right, the partner in that. Yes, you're a mom, or yes, you're a dad, but you're also somebody's partner, and that relationship has to be nurtured. And I think sometimes, especially moms, tell me if you've noticed this, Erin, because I was guilty of it. Everything was my children, right? Mm-hmm. My child, and I had stepchildren at the time. And I sacrificed a lot of my relationship time. That's why I think I do what I do for my granddaughter and my daughter now. I put so much energy into the children that really, I'll be honest, I didn't have a lot of energy left for him way back then. And that breaks my heart. I mean, that relationship ended. And I think we were both guilty of it. But that's why it's so important that I do it now for them, right? Because I find that it's important. Do you find moms struggle with that, of trying to find the balance and not feel guilty when they take time for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm also, you know, a marriage counselor and individual counselor. And I hear all the time from people that I'll suggest, you know, a date night, or they'll, people will tell me we haven't had a date night in years, or, you know, not maybe once a year, things like that. And if I ask about it, people might say, I don't want to miss the bedtime routine, or my daughter might cry when I leave, you know, things like that. And I think what's hard to realize in the moment is how much more energy it can give you to give back to your kids when you do take that time out, whether it's for yourself or with a partner, that getting that different energy actually fills you up with so much, you know, so much more energy to be able to give your kids. And having those conversations with a partner about how family life's going, how you're parenting together, actually makes you way stronger parents, even if it's just those 2 hours.
It's so true, and something I've said for years, I've had Aspire magazine for 11 years now, and I've shared this message over and over again. I believe women are the nurturers of the next generation, and how we show up in our lives, but especially our relationships, intimate relationship, is we're the mirror to how they are going to look at their relationship as they grow up. Like, and as I was raising my daughter, the reason I left that marriage many years ago was, oh my God, I'm teaching my daughters that it's okay to be with someone emotionally unavailable. And I was teaching my son, stepson, that it was okay to treat your partner this way. And I left within a month of having that awareness of going, I'm staying for the wrong reasons. I'm not staying thinking it was the right thing to do for them. I was actually, it was actually more damaging because they weren't seeing a healthy relationship. And that's when I really started to shift things. And I've been with my life partner now, I've been with Dana, he's 22 years. And I had to learn that lesson the hard way. And so do you also believe that when mommy and daddy are happy and connected and all on the same page, that the children see it, they feel it, they live it?
Yeah, and then they also feel that joy in the house. They feel that joy in the family, and they feel more joyful themselves because they notice that their mom and dad are in a good place.
It's so.
But again, it's so busy that I think there's certain, you know, rituals even beyond date night that help people stay connected. You know, because it's so hard. It's so hard to carve out that time. Like, I think another one is going to bed at the same time as your partner, at least a few nights a week, with plenty of time to talk and connect before you fall asleep. That, you know, it just making sure that you're getting upstairs in bed at the same time, so you get that time to talk at the end of the night after the dishes are done and, you know, the chores are put away and the kids are in bed, that you actually really get that connection time. Or even the way you greet your partner when they get home from work, you know, giving them a hug and saying something positive the first thing out of your mouth, or the first thing you wake up in the morning and saying something positive to them, or,
Those are such great tips, and I want to dive into some more of those tips, because this is what I think I see, and I have a large global women's community, is it's the little things that matter, right, in your relationships. And the things you just named are so simple to do. They don't cost money. And because of erinleiba.com, and that's Erin, and then Leiba is LEYBA.com.
Free your mind. Expand your soul. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
If you're feeling stuck in any area of your life, it's your soul letting you know it's time for a change. You're being nudged to let go of anxiety, regret, and playing small so you can embrace the limitless soul that you are. Your journey begins by recognizing that right now, in this moment, you are enough. Through her coaching, programs, and retreats, international best-selling author, speaker, and spiritual mentor, Lara J. helps others courageously transform their disconnected lives into joy-filled, meaningful ones. Imagine living a life full of ease, vibrant health, thriving relationships, and meaningful work without sacrificing yourself to achieve it. If you're ready to own your worth and begin living your limitless life, Lara invites you to claim your free More Than Enough ebook and meditation at larajay.com and learn more about her offerings.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi everyone, this is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTR-FM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm Linda Joy, your host, and with me today is Erin, and we're talking about parenting and children and the joy fixes for, like, weary moms. So I love the tips right before the break, Erin, that you were saying, like, go to bed at the same time, greet your partner in a, you know, with love when he comes in. And one of the other things that I do, I always, and we've made it a joke, my office is upstairs, and he always goes, all right, babe, I'm heading out, and I always go, you can't leave without your morning kiss, like it's a joke, and he always makes movies running out the door. He's been doing that for 22 years. And I'm like, get over here. You can't start your day without a kiss from me. And we laugh, and then he busts my chops, and I'm like, all right, now you can go. It's like goofy things like that. We don't have kids in the house anymore, but 22 years in, I know. And the other thing I'll share that I did, I probably 9 years ago, when he got a phone, I went in and reprogrammed it. So every time I call, instead of saying my name, it says love of your life. So every time I call, it lights up, love of your life. And I did the same thing because energetically, it just says something. So now when he calls me, I go, oh, the love of my life is calling. That's what you're talking about, right? Finding something like that that reminds them. We don't need money to make someone feel loved.
Right, right. Yeah, no, those are great. I had one dad tell me that he would go on all these work trips, and he sent his wife a postcard from all these cities, even though it got there often after he was already home. But she would get these postcards in the mail just knowing that he was away, and that, you know, from Cleveland, Cincinnati, or Tulsa, or whatever it was, that she would get those postcards just with a few simple, sweet sayings.
I love that because it's like, even though they come after he's home, she knows that in that moment, he was present and thinking of her.
Mm-hmm.
And how
yeah, and I think even...
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
What were you going to say, Erin?
Oh, I was just going to say that even, you know, sending positive text messages to a partner during the day, something, you know, sweet and positive, and thinking every day I'm going to send a positive text message, whether it's thanking my partner for something or giving them a compliment or sharing something positive that happened in my day or something I'm looking forward to doing with them. And that's another research-based thing. That research shows that, you know, aimless texting, just like we need more paper towels or arguing over texting, hurts relationships. But if you're very intentional about sending positive things via text, it actually really helps your relationship.
Yeah, but I think it, because wouldn't it melt your heart if in the middle of the day you just got a note thinking of you? Doesn't have to say anything else. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I can see how it works. Now, Erin, how young are your children?
They're 4, 6, and 7.
Okay, so they're really young. So what tips do you have, right? Like, because we know kids will be kids. And a lot of times we judge everything by their behavior, right? So you must mm-hmm. be living this right now because you're right in the realm of those ages. How do you help them understand their behavior, because you and I know a lot of times it's triggered by things, not because they're being naughty, which I don't even like that word, but it's because they don't know how to deal with their feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think you're right that a lot of times they're reacting to some environmental conditions that are going on. They might be overtired or hungry or thirsty, just like sometimes we act out or, you know, act not ourselves when we're hungry or overtired or, you know, feeling hormonal or whatever it is that happens to kids all the time, and they don't have the filters that we have. So when they're having a hard time and they're dealing with one of those things, then we notice their behavior increases. Or the other thing is, I think a lot of kids are overstimulated, that they're always kind of rushed from here to there. They start playing this something and then they're kind of like rushed out the door to the next activity or, you know, next location or whatever it is. And they don't have that kind of calm downtime that kids really need, or they don't have a lot of time to just free play outside, which, you know, is so good for them or whatever. But I think, you know, they often are picking up on parents too. If we're having a stressful day, then they're kind of showing, mirroring that stress back to us. So yeah, like you said, there a lot of times it's not that they're acting naughty; they're just responding to environmental situations. I think often too, parents forget that kids' brains aren't fully developed. That especially little kids, their impulse control and their ability to resist the urge to do something that's forbidden doesn't really develop in their brains until they're 3.5 or 4 years old. So a lot of times, you know, a 2-year-old's doing something or a 3-year-old's doing something, and her natural mindset to say, like, you should know better than that. Don't, you know, you should know not to pull the curtains or to pick all the tomatoes while they're green or things like that. But they don't know that, and they can't, you know, they can't always manage their impulses. But so I think it's just about being, you know, showing them a lot of compassion and teaching them and being, you know, wildly consistent with our responses, as consistent as we can be, but also in a calm manner.
Oh, it's so true. And one of the things too I learned, I have one biological and 2 stepchildren from many years ago. One of the things I had to come to realize is that every child is different and every child process is different, right? And they were all up 2 years apart. And how I would be with one, or how one showed up in her day, even though they all experienced the same day, isn't how the second child would react. One needs more spaciousness. One can go 100 miles an hour and never feel overwhelmed. It was learning how to read each child and their mm-hmm. needs differently, right? Have you found that too, is that sometimes we just say, oh, we have, you know, 2 children, 3 children, 4, and we group them expecting that everything will flow the same for all of them. That was a big thing for me to learn 25 years ago too.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think, you know, some kids, they're really strong-willed. They're kind of here on earth to do something big with their lives and really be a leader. But then, you know, that's their strength. But also the flip side of that is they're not that good at following directions at times. They're kind of more wired to resist us, and that's going to really help them when they're adults. But, you know, when they're kids, it feels difficult in that moment. But it's kind of remembering that's going to be one of their core strengths when they grow up, or even, like, you know, being really sensitive about something or shy about something. That some kids are really intuitive and they pick up on other kids' feelings, and they need that time to kind of be by themselves and reground themselves at the end of a day. And if they're acting out at the end of a day, it might be because they've just had so many feelings coming at them and picked up on all these moods that are happening at school or daycare. You know, and they need just some quiet time. So I think what you said, it's kids need really different things sometimes to be able to center themselves again.
Yeah, and I believe we as parents have to be really present to see each of our children's gifts as well as their way of processing. Because, you know, many years back, and I'm a lot older than you, I'm 55, I had 3 other siblings, and we were not treated as individuals, like energetically or emotionally. And I know they knew what they knew at the time, but we all held different ways of processing. right? Like I was the creative free spirit, and another one may have been, you know, type A personality that everything in her room had to be lined up. That sure in the heck wasn't me. But do you see the, like the, that's a wide personality difference. And so for me, it's like honoring the little person in front of me, honoring the individuality of that person, and not getting caught up in my own stuff and how I want my day to unfold, but seeing how that might affect that particular child. Have you found that a lot of parents get frustrated with that? Like, well, Jack does this and Mary is not going along with it. Do you find that in your practice?
Yeah, definitely in my practice and also with my own kids. I like one of my kids is really playful, and I kind of, when I had that realization that he just needs to be playful, it's part of his wiring. Then, you know, when he puts on his daddy's shoes instead of his own shoes, when we're running out the door, he wants me to chase him around before bedtime. Then I can kind of remind myself, like, this is not him being naughty. This is the way he's wired, and he really needs me to fill his cup to connect with him in this playful, goofy way. He just lights up and loves it. And then his behavior improves when I find the time to do that kind of stuff with him, joke around with him.
Yeah. I love that because I could visually picture him putting on his dad's shoes too. And we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back for the last segment, one of the things that you talked about, one of the other things I should say that you talked about was bringing creativity to relationships, whether it's, you know, friendship or partnership. So let's talk about that when we come back from our break. And I'll be back in a moment with Erin Labor of erinlabor.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Are you ready to manifest the life of your dreams? Do you often wonder why it hasn't happened yet? When you are in alignment with your deepest desires, you have unlimited power to manifest more wealth, better health, and happiness. By using a unique formula and proven process to help you create higher levels of energy in the moment and long term, at the Wealth Attraction Academy, you'll discover the support you need to help you do just that. The Wealth Attraction Academy was founded by seven-figure business owner, international best-selling author, speaker, coach, and Aspire magazine expert columnist, Anne Sanfilippo. Anne's mission is to provide women like you with the tools and resources you need to manifest an abundant life of your dreams, financially, emotionally, and spiritually. Visit WealthAttractionAcademy.com to claim your free Attract Wealth, Health, and Happiness gift set and schedule a free discovery session today.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were careful.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is the author of Joy Fixes for Wary Parents, 101 Quick Research-Based Ideas for Overcoming Stress and Building a Life You Love. Erin Labor is here, and we're talking about parenting and all the juiciness that goes along with that. So, Erin, what do you mean by bringing creativity to our relationships?
I think, you know, with joy, it's kind of, you know, a lot of times we think about happiness as like we want good things to happen in our lives, or we want our friends to treat us a certain way and we'll be happy. But it's kind of like switching that around and realizing that we feel most joyful ourselves when we spread joy to other people. So if we're really clear on the ways that we're spreading joy to our friends, our partners, our kids, that we actually feel so much more grounded and peaceful ourselves. So yeah, one of the ways, examples like in a friendship that you might spread joy is by you know, your friend has surgery and you send them a pair of Wonder Woman socks to wear during their physical therapy session, or your friend's going on a road trip and you drop off, you know, a favorite CD and gum and some snacks for them. They're going on a road trip with their three little kids in the car by themselves, and you just write, you know, thinking of you, here's some things to get you through the ride, or, you know, just really bringing your own creativity and realizing the close alignment between your own joy and creativity in your life. Yeah, and bringing creativity to a partnership by, you know, surprising your partner with a car wash, or by waking up in the morning and taking the kids out to the park so your partner can sleep in, you know, or things like that. Just doing those little kind gestures in the moment, that gestures just make a huge difference for how you feel connected to people and how you feel about yourself.
Oh, it does, because when you're spreading joy, I think it attracts more joy in your life. And those are all like simple, beautiful ways, right, that make someone, I don't like the word validated, but make them know how much you appreciate their presence in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're so simple. And so do you try to do this consistently also in your own life?
I do. I think about this all the time. I think about a lot of these tools all the time in my own life to try to remind myself. But yeah, I definitely try to do that with friends. If they're going through a hard time, to kind of send I'm thinking of you text to them, or send them a card, or make them a meal or something like that. That I think it's good for them, but it's also a way that I can stay more joyful myself.
It's so true, because I believe when we focus on someone else, you know, as long as we're taking care of ourselves, but when we focus on someone else, it's a gratifying feeling, because we feel like we're sharing a part of ourselves, especially when it's in such a positive, uplifting way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know you have a private practice, so you're an entrepreneur, just like I am and many of my listeners are. So as a mom of young children, as an entrepreneur with a busy private practice, how do you balance, and I put that in quotation marks, how do you balance everything? Now you know why I put balance in quotation marks.
Yeah, that needs some quotes around it. You know, I think it's like everyone, it's kind of trying to move more into balance, but also getting tugged out of it, you know. And just being aware of where I'm at in that moment. But yeah, and make sure that I have some of those more playful moments with my kids where there's no expectation, there's no, you know, we're doing this or that. Like, it's just kind of free time, just time to just be together. Like, we have a garden in our backyard, and just gardening together and just, you know, being there with no, you know, pushiness and no rushing, and just kind of enjoying each other, just having those little moments in my day. And then some quiet time in my day, I've tried to kind of, this one thing I've really had to work at is to build a little bit of quiet time in each day where I can have a cup of tea and, you know, read for 15 minutes or things like that.
Yeah, that's, you know, I can imagine with three kids, finding 15 minutes of quiet time is tough, but it's an important part of my day too. I start every day that way. I don't have young children at home anymore, but I know what you mean. It's that piece of tapping into yourself, being present with yourself so that you can give your best throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes I need a little extra boost. Like, sometimes I know I'm going to play this kind of music today because I know I need this boost. I'm not in the best place today. You know, or I'm going to call this friend, or I'm going to go, mostly it's go outside, and nature really is able to shift my mood a lot of times. So I think it's recognizing, you know, whoa, I'm kind of heading out of balance. What can I do here?
And I love that you acknowledge that, because all of us feel out of balance at one time or another, right? And not judging it and just recognize it and saying, now what can I do to shift?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about, because one of the chapters, I giggled when I saw it. It was like, stop kicking your own ass. So what do you mean by that?
I just, you know, I think a lot of parents that I encounter, myself, my friends, people in my practice, people are just so hard on themselves. They're, you know, there's a perfectionistic streak in them that they want to do everything so well and so right and not make a mistake and, you know, do everything perfectly for their kids, their families. But they end up, and it's such a, you know, it's such a noble value to have. It's really incredible to see that in people. But then I think they end up being so hard on themselves when it's not possible. You know, things are not always perfect. Like we were just talking, things are not always balanced. You're not always in a good place or feeling centered. But you make mistakes, you screw up, you miss deadlines, you miss appointments, or, you know, you go to work with your kids' underwear stuck on your back or whatever it is. You mess up all the time. Maybe you say something, you know, because you're overtired that you wouldn't have normally said. So that's one thing, I think, just being perfectionistic. But I also think, you know, parents just think they have endless energy, that they should just pour their entire lives into their kids, and they don't realize that they need to kind of care for themselves and be incredibly compassionate for themselves and take that time to refill their cup.
I love it. Well, you're right. We have a tendency to be tough on ourselves. I think that's just part of the journey, but we have to learn to be more loving and gentle with ourselves, because when our children see us being hard on ourselves, then they can mirror that in their own lives and be hard on themselves instead of compassionate.
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about is like how they pick up on bad, ever, that they somehow pick up on those little nuances, even though we might not be saying them aloud.
Exactly, especially for sensitives. My granddaughter's a sensitive. She picks up everything like that, and she will call you out on it, right? Mm-hmm. She doesn't. She calls you out and says, "Why?" Here's a perfect example. There's a gentleman. You know, some people just have that face that they don't walk around smiling, and their natural relaxed look kind of looks like they're grumpy, right? So this giant of a man who's probably in his 30s works at a restaurant, and McKenna was 3 and a half, and his name's Reuben, and we walk in. It's a place she had been before, but he had come out of the back. He's the cook. It was 2 seconds. He walked right by her, didn't look at her, didn't acknowledge her, and she looked at me and Dana and said, "Why is that man so grumpy?" And we said, "Baby, he's not." Now, in that moment, we didn't know it. He did just have a situation in the kitchen, and he was upset. And that's why he was walking out of the kitchen in the middle of a shift. She read that quick, and he heard her say that as he walked by. And he went back in the kitchen, Erin, and it bothered him. So 15 minutes later, he came out. And we were all sitting there, and of course she puts her head down like, "The grumpy man is coming." And he called Dana aside. He goes, "My heart is broken." He goes, "Does she think I'm grumpy?" And he said, "Oh, she's very sensitive and can really reads energy." He goes, "But what she didn't know is I came out of there upset of something in there." And he goes, "And it affected her so deeply that it's broke my heart." So he said, "Could I talk to her?" And I said, "Well, put a smile on your face, right?" So he did. Now, do you know, it's been a year. She goes by that restaurant 3 times a week. She always says, "That's my friend Reuben. He's really not grumpy."
Oh.
But do you see how sensitive children are to energy, even though nothing happened in that moment? It amazed us. That's when we saw that children are picking up at all times, even if we think we're hiding something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was, you know, I think maybe I'm more awake now at this point in my life and witness these things in my grandchildren that I'm sure were present in my children, but I wasn't as aware and have the knowledge that I have now. But that was big for me to say, wow, we're always picking up other people's energy. So, Erin, this was such a joy-filled conversation. I thank you for joining me and sharing your wisdom, and I'm so excited for all the lives that are going to be changed through your book. And I want to say the title of the book again. Everyone, it's Joy Fixes for Weary Parents, 101 Quick Research-Based Ideas for Overcoming Stress and Building a Life You Love. And I'm going to spell Erin's URL for you. It's Erin, E-R-I-N, Leyba, Leyba.com. So thank you, Erin, for being here, for doing the work that you're doing out in the world and sharing this message.
Thank you so much, Linda.
And everyone, I hope to see you here with us every week, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, for the Inspired Conversations radio show. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness. Blessings, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.